Hello and welcome to another edition of the Naked Men podcast. It is me, of course, the I don't really know what to call myself. My name is Ben and we have a Mr. Nathan.
Hello, hello, that was smooth as silk.
It wasn't, but
it's like anyway, Nathan, someone that's been podcasting for 5 years. That's the sort of intro.
That's the intro we do. Yeah. Not a single thought about how we go into it. Anyway. Nathan, what's the weirdest interaction a stranger's ever had with you?
Probably loads. Like, it's probably loads of times where I've interacted with strangers where I think I've been acting like a normal person and they just sort of haven't. Are you talking about like things I've done to the stranger or seeing strangers to me?
Both, I guess.
No, I can't think of anything. What have you got?
Something happened to me today, and it was, and it's not, and it is strange, but you get, it's weird, being an expat, I think in a lot of, being a white guy in, like, Asian countries is, like, a weird experience a lot of the time, and I kind of enjoy it mostly. You get, like, a lot of, like, attention, we were talking about dating before we started, like, definitely dated girls 100% out of my league because I'm just a white guy, so on. Without a shadow. Vast majority of them, probably.
And that's white privilege.
I know there is. There's definitely white privilege being here for sure. I mean, in general, foreigner privilege, but I think there's like a little bit more in the white privilege way. Like, people kind of treat you a certain way. So I was walking down the street today, and I was because there's lots of cockroaches in Taiwan, just in general. But there is sometimes it's like random restaurants will have lots just like running out for, I don't know why, I think it's like clearing out sewers or some shit. So I kind of really despise that kind of just didn't enjoy it today. I've never seen so many, I've killed so many, I just want to like burn them all. So I was walking down the street, literally just like hopping on cockroaches, trying to kill them all. Yeah. And about three or four buildings later, three or four. Shops later, you know, because a lot of like shops are very open in Taiwan. They're very, well, shops don't really look like shops, but the look, they're just like very open with like, oh, what the fuck is going on here? And I was walking and this is like, no, it's kind of like a 50-year-old dude was smoking with like a woman who's also like 50, and they kind of just look to be, and it's not like an unusual thing for like a Taiwanese person just to, like kind of say something to you in Chinese, and I'll be like, oh, just kind of like nod to him. I did that, and he put his arms out like a zombie, and he just like rushed at me. Like, he generally did like a chuckle, and I was like, fucking dude trying to hug me right now. Like, is this fucking dude like trying to?
It was
to,
the cockroaches, it was definitely the cockroaches had found a corpse and reanimated the corpse and were coming for
in like in blend, Men in Black, yeah. And he just like, and like he literally came from 20 meters away.
Jeez.
And he was like, and I was kind of just like,
oh, is this a young or an old person?
No, he's like 50 years old. And he I just looked at him for a while. So it must be someone behind me or something. Like, you know, like his daughter must be behind me or something. And as he got closer, it's like I kind of just turned away and decided to walk on the road. Rather than like the footpath, because it's like, and in anyone's mind, it's clearly like, you know, a very polite way to be like, fuck off, you know. And he just came and he was smoking, he had a cigarette in his mouth the whole time. He was coming closer and closer. He followed me onto the road and he hugged, like, he was saying something in Chinese, but like, my Chinese isn't that good to know. And he literally like grabbed my shoulder and it came like close to me, and his cigarette literally was like an inch away from my like face, like, but it was burning cigarette, it was like completely burn me, and I just shook him and was like, fuck off now, like, what are you doing? I was just in like a weird butterfly wrap to like get his arms off me and get him away. Cool. But he didn't seem annoyed, he barely even reacted to it. Kind of, you know, walked a little bit quicker, and he kept following me for like a street, and he was like, he didn't have his arms out anymore, he's still smoking his cigarette, he's still like smiling at me weirdly, And I'm just like, just turn him back to like, make sure he's not trying to fucking hug and burn me again. That was pretty weird.
You should have beaten the crap out of him. This is your fault for not handling it properly.
Probably, yeah.
What do you think he was trying to say in Chinese? If you had to guess.
Like my friend or something. Like, oh, I don't know. Trying to like talk to me. Like, there's a thing. I've been asked a bunch of times, like in bars or whatever, if like a Taiwanese guy like asked me to be their like, friend. But like, don't really know me. And I'm very like approachable and friendly in like very cases. I think I just have like quite a disarming demeanor about me, which I love. It's good to be friendly, but like I probably put on up a bit of bullshit. So this guy like kind of knew that I wouldn't really harm him if he'd like fuck me or some shit, or like try and weirdly harass me. So yeah, sometimes people would just want to be my friend. Maybe it's going about the wrong way. Like, don't try and hug someone when you smoke a cigarette. That's just an idiotic move.
This is a rule of life. That's pretty weird. I think the listeners, you should let us know what you think the man was trying to say. And also, what's your weirdest interaction with a stranger at @rogue_opinion? If you have the weirdest stranger interaction judged by us, Ben will send you a Google Play copy of Men in Black.
Nice.
Or YouTube. You can just buy it on YouTube. I just fucking tore it. Just send us your email address. We'll just send you send you a zip file that you have to extract. Oh, that's pretty strange. Very strange. Anyway, strange. All right, on to the naked men news. We've got news. Well, first off, let's start off with Nerd Watch. How was Ahsoka?
It was pretty great. I was a big fan of it. Yeah, overall, it's like one of the better Star Wars series, definitely. I prefer Andor. I think overall, just Andor's like really gritty, realistic, like really good writing, sort of just sci-fi. Like Andor's like 100% my shit. Ahsoka's really good though. Like there is a lot of, I'm not like fully, a lot of people have watched all like the animated shows, like the Clone Wars and Rebels and the Bad Batch. And apparently like it pays, Ahsoka paid off like a lot of stuff in that. And I've only watched Rebels out of those three. And Rebels is really good. It's really cool. Like, I watched it one, like, summer because I was bored and I lived in the most boring place on Earth. And it does, like, pay off. Like, it really, Ahsoka really is Rebels season 5, which is cool. It's all from the vision of this guy called Dave Filoni. He's, like, a big part of the Mandalorian as well. And it does, like, it's just very good normal Star Wars. Like, it feels like, you know, the original trilogy, and it feels just like Star Wars as you kind of think of it, is that it's Jedi's, it's fantasy, it's like a bit of a swashbuckling tale. And also they introduce like a lot of weird more lore. Like, they introduce like night sister magic is like a big key point here, which is like, people really love that spirit sometimes. Night sisters were it's sort of like a separate magic from the Force. It's kind of like a necromancer, essentially. Darth Maul was like involved in all that shit. And yeah, they have Thrawn, who's the big villain, and he's very, people love him from the past canon before Disney. He was like this very intimidating, strategic character. He was basically the second villain in Star Wars after the Emperor and Darth Vader. And they reintroduced him in live action in the show, and he was done really well. Like, I don't really know a ton about Thrawn, but he's just a very interesting character. He's a very good villain, you can already tell. The show is gonna go on for a second season, and apparently there's gonna be a movie based on this era, and I'm like totally on board. Ahsoka's a great character as well. Ahsoka, like, it's played by Rosario Dawson, who's awesome in everything she does. It's just like, Ahsoka might be my favorite Jedi now, even though technically she's actually not a Jedi, but I reckon out of all the Jedi, she's one that feels like she has the most depth and the most like internal turmoil in a lot of ways.
Is she the only lady Jedi? There are other lady Jedis?
There's actually a second lady Jedi in the show. There's a Mandalorian Jedi, which is cool.
Mandalorian and a Jedi.
I know. It's OP. It's very much like, if you don't like Star Wars, you're not gonna like this. Whereas I would recommend Andor to everyone. Like everyone who likes war-based things, everyone who likes guerrilla warfare or stuff like that. Because it doesn't really feel like a Star Wars thing. Like there are places which sure feels a bit more like Star Wars and like Star Wars universe, but it's just a really good sci-fi show. This is just 100%. It's Star Wars. It's what you know about Star Wars, but done in a really good way. Like, it's done with very good writing, and it does add new lore, new ideas to the Star Wars mythos. Also, Ray Winston, who unfortunately died, he plays a really interesting villain. Because there's like an apprentice and there's two sets of apprentices and masters, right? One a little bit more on the light side, one a little bit more on the dark side. But neither of them are wholly good and wholly bad, right? And Ray Winston is like the master of the more dark side, apprentice and master. And his
is it definitely Ray Winston?
Might not be Ray Winston. Ray something.
You just made me Google Ray it. Where is it? Ray Winston's the guy from Sexy Beast.
Oh, no. It is. Sorry, Ray Stevenson, fuck. Even worse, he's dead.
I'd like if it was Ray Winston. It's right, Ahsoka.
Ray Stevenson. Every scene this guy was in, I was like, this is my shit. Because I think he's an antagonist, isn't it? But he's also, you get his point of view the entire way through. He's not even doing anything like that maniacal. He's just like, he's on his path and he doesn't want anyone to get in the way of his path. And he's on a learning journey. He feels like a Star Wars villain that is searching for like enlightenment. And I think that's really, really interesting. Unfortunately, he's dead, so I don't know where they're going to put the story in that next season.
They can just digital. They'll just digital death puppet him. They'll do what they did with that other dude.
Yeah.
Harkin. What was his name? This dude that they brought back to life. I don't know. Who cares?
Yeah, Ahsoka's cool.
Oh, cool. Cool, cool, cool. Everyone go watch Ahsoka if you want to. It's on Disney Plus. You're already paying for it, so just go do it. Just go do it. Just go do it. Speaking of Disney, I watched the new Haunted Mansion the other day.
Okay. I'm never thinking this is where we're going. All right.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's like a family horror movie. Well, it's October, so you've got to watch all the new spooky stuff. So that comes out. It's Halloween time. It's pretty good. No one liked it when it came out in the cinema, and I watched it, and I was like, this is really just a fine film. Pretty entertaining. I can imagine families really enjoy it.
Maybe that's why, because it was kind of like, this is fine.
I think we've reached a point where, like, cares about Haunted Mansion. I think the worst thing you can be is make just a fine movie, because fine reviews don't get clicked on. If you're just like, this movie's it's like, that's really it. You don't need to review it. So then people really like hyper up either how shit it is or how wrong everyone is. You just get kind of like extremes. When I watched it, I was like, I can imagine a family film, like, for some ghosts. It's a cool story. Like, it's pretty good. And it was all right. Danny DeVito's in there. He was good. Owen Wilson was in there. He was good. Jared Leto was the big bad. Offset in the movie, probably, as well. Yeah, he played, like, the Hatbox ghost, which was good. Everyone was good. It was a fine film.
Fine time. If I'm ever hungover, which will probably be in a couple of weeks, watch it.
Yeah, you should. It's like 2 hours of just like a family kind of horror film. But speaking of not family horror films, I watched The Nun 2.
Holy shit.
That was pretty creepy. You would not like that film.
Really? Would it be too scary for me?
It would be too scary for you.
I don't think I've watched The Nun.
Oh, the first Nun is definitely better. This one is just as good. It continues the story. Again, it didn't get the best reviews, but I think it's just because it's a horror film, and horror films, to be honest, never get good reviews, probably because the critics that watch it end up just like hiding because they're too scared. The Nun is like genuinely really creepy as just a character and the way they present her.
It's just really random. I have such a crush on the main character in Nun 2, the actress, for some reason. I don't know why. I have for like a while. Was it Taissa Farmiga? She's like I don't know why. I've always thought she was like such a really cool.
There's something about extremely white women.
I'm not really, much of a fan of white women these days. But she's very attractive. And also her sister, she's the older one. Now she's famous. She's like, her sister is famously,
famously Ray Winston. Anyway, yeah, well, the nun is not attractive in that the actual demon, unless you're into really spooky demon creatures. But yeah, good continuation of the first one, good presentation, really creepy.
Nun is a spin off of The Conjuring or
The nun is the demon from The Conjuring 2. But it's all building up because The Conjuring have told us about this exorcism that the Patrick Wilson and his wife do. We've seen like little bits of this exorcism that apparently like scars the main lady for that ever. And it's the exorcism of one of the main characters in the Nun movies. The guy, like Maurice Frenchie, it's like the nickname of the character. And he's the one that the nun, the demon, has possessed, and it's like and it's that exorcism that I think they're building it up to. Like, I think that's really what the Nun 3 is. It's like that actual story, or the next Conjuring movie will be like a prequel of the other ones where we get to finally see it.
There was a third Conjuring movie, right?
Yeah So there was The Devil Made Me Do It, which is that was a good movie that came out last Halloween.
I've only seen the Conjuring one. And I've seen like Annabelle or something, one of the Annabelles.
Conjuring 2 is the scariest one.
Yeah, I do remember Conjuring 2. Set in England, right?
That's it. Anyway, everyone, go watch The Nun 2. It's on streaming. Just fucking do it.
All right. Tell me in 2 minutes, what do you think of AC Mirage?
AC Mirage is very good. I'm only like 4 or 5 hours into the game. It's great. The setting is beautiful. The graphics are good. The characters are interesting. Everyone keeps saying they're not interesting. Again, I'm going to be contrarian and go, I think you're just being boring. Like, if you don't think they're interesting, there's a story that's there. You get to see a piece of Eden again that we've not seen for a long time. So when that appears, you're like, what? I haven't done any of the modern day stuff, but the narrator is spoiler alert. For people, should I do spoilers? It's right at the start of the game, scene. So it's not really a spoiler, and it's also in one of the trailers. The main narrator of the modern day stuff is Desmond Miles' dad, who we've not seen.
Oh, really?
Who we've not seen since AC3. So that's pretty exciting. That's pretty exciting. If you care about the modern day lore, which I think I'm probably the only one left that does, because it's been terribly done for the last 5 games.
It's just weirdly done in all the games.
Yeah, pretty much. The combat is good. The skills tree is massively scaled down, which is great, because in Valhalla, when they added all the extra bits and you looked at the skill tree, you were like, fucking hell. There was like 300 upgrades or something.
Yeah, it was crazy. Such a long game. I keep wanting to go back to Valhalla, but it's like, it's going to be like 70 more hours until I finish the game.
I just can't do it. Like, I've got it on PS5 and Xbox One, and I know I finished the story once, but I haven't done any of the extra bits. I never finished the DLCs, because when you got to like hour 90, you're like, I don't think I'm done. But anyway, it's really fun. It's the stealthiest Assassin's Creed game since probably 2. Like, stealth is actually important for once, which it hasn't been ages, because you've just been this marauding tank for like the last 6 games. you can't do that. It's got really strong vibes of the first ever AC in that the setting and the way that you have to play the game. Free running is good. I've not encountered any glitches, which is unusual. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed is legit like one of my favorite games. Like I and I do I am it's for a game definitely a bit being like a modern day version of that. I am definitely interested in it.
There we go. Anyway, we go. I think that's was there any other news?
I'm gonna talk a little bit about Gen V, which is a boys spin-off show. Like a nice. Little bit. It's fucking dope, not gonna lie. It's I didn't really know the show was coming. I had no idea if it was being. My friend messaged me saying, you're into the boys, right? And I was like, I don't fucking love the boys. There's
you're
a college
into boys, right?
Chill. And I was like, oh, all right. And it's basically the one is college show with the boys. And it's all about this new generation of like superheroes called Gen V. That
is it like Teen Titans?
In like a very boys way, yeah. It's not really like a happy sort of thing. It's very, very gross. And there's been like what 4 episodes, and there was like 3 or 4 scenes. I'm like, oh my fucking god! Like, every episode has a scene where like this is just disturbing as hell in the best way and kind of funny. Yeah, it's as you've seen the boys, right?
I have seen the boys. I haven't watched Gen V yet, but I am up to date on the boys. The boys is the best.
It is, and this I think the show is as good as like quality wise as well. The show is awesome, and it's as satirical. It's a bit, it does feel a bit different because it is like definitely like a college show. It's about these people who are like 17, 18, 19, and there's like a bit more focus, say like mental health problems and stuff like that. But if you like the boys, you're gonna love the show. Like it's actually a stronger start than the boys had, because I really love the boys like second and third season. I don't really love the first season that much, but this show definitely starts off with like more of a bang. Just like it's so unpredictable. You're like, what the fuck is going on here? And in the best way possible, it's fantastic. Like it's definitely a show I'm like excited about. And it came out of nowhere for me, which was nice. I had no idea of the thing until like a week ago.
Yeah, it didn't come up with much hype. I've seen that's on there. There's loads of stuff on Prime at the minute. Prime is doing pretty good. There's some other show. There's that. Oh, The Continental, the spin-off from John Wick.
Yeah.
Not sure if I'm going to watch it because I'm not sure how comfortable I am with how often Mel Gibson is just appearing in Amazon Prime things. Like we're all just meant to forget. Like who he is, like everything he's done. So it's kind of weird. Like I would have much rather seen someone like John Bernthal play that part, but
sure,
just like someone like genuinely seems like a nice human being for once. Apparently The Continental's pretty good, so I might give it a go because I do enjoy John Wick. Until I saw the director said that he has scripts and plans for John Wick 5 through 9, and then I read that and went, oh my but why
I mean,
not?
We might watch it if they like stagnate. If it's like every 3 years, but like, yeah, I could go for a John Wick.
When Keanu Reeves is like 90.
Yeah, fuck it, he's gonna do it.
They should arms and shit. Have you seen John Wick 4?
Yeah, I really like John Wick 4. John Wick 4.
Yeah, I hope they don't bring like I know the movie is literally called John Wick, but I hope they don't bring John Wick back the character. I do genuinely hope that that's kind of it. Because it was kind of like a nice way to end, even though 3 was probably a better jumping off point story wise, but 4 was still fucking kick ass.
So 4 was awesome. 4 was legit.
Oh, it's one of the best movies of the year so far, if not the best.
Oh, yeah, 100%. It's exactly what you want from John Wick. It's like, oh, the first 3 times, the first 3 John Wicks are really good and fun. 4 is like, they just mastered the formula. And I maybe do something else in like 5 years when it's like John Wick's brother.
No, they should do. The thing is, I say all this, but then I'm a massive fan of the Mission Impossible franchise, and I could have made the same argument after Mission Impossible 4 and been like, this is a good jumping off point. And now we're on to like Mission Impossible 9, and I'm like, this is the best movie I've seen in years.
So,
it was great.
Hopefully, they do more. That, I mean, Mission Impossible, Ethan Hunt versus John Wick. That's how it should end.
Ethan Hunt's more resourceful, but John Wick would fucking murder him if it was one-on-one.
Yeah, I think he would, yeah.
Ethan Hunt's like, he's a great fighter, but he's more about the heist. Like,
he's more about planning, he's a heistman. Yeah.
Whereas Ethan Hunt is just, not Ethan Hunt, John Wick is just, he's like the human embodiment of a Terminator.
He's just skilled. He's just like massively skilled in every way.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we under, because Ethan Hunt's not really been in one of those fights. I think a more apples to apples matchup is Jason Bourne versus John Wick.
That would sell tickets, man. That would really just, the Bourne trilogy. So they made a fourth one, I think. No, they made a five of them. The original Bourne trilogy.
They did one spin-off which sucked ass. So we don't talk about that.
Yeah.
But there's four.
Yeah, the format. The last one I don't remember being that good, but I remember the first like three were so good. They were like kind of John Wick quality in action scenes before John Wick.
Oh, definitely.
Make the two of them fight would sell so many fucking tickets, and they're both like old men now, where they're both like, well, come on, get out there, you know. I don't know who owns the Bourne franchise, but you know, they should.
You know, it's a universal thing, I think.
Yeah, but they should talk.
Can I pitch you a movie? No. Right, movie starts off. City's been flattened, like all of New York and whatever, and the fight's been going on for years. And what it is it's Godzilla versus Kong, but Kong becomes best friends with John Wick. Godzilla becomes best friends with Jason Bourne, and then it's just like Godzilla and Kong fighting, and then on the rooftop underneath them it's like John Wick and Jason Bourne fighting, like, yes. And and it's like just a two-on-two fight, and they're like swapping opponents every now and then.
Yeah. Where like Jason is versus Kong, and like Wok is versus Godzilla. Just for some reason, there for like a millisecond they can match up.
But they're like, there's some technology that they're both wearing, so each other's vital signs are like tied to each other. So if Godzilla dies, Jason Bourne also dies.
Yeah.
So it's like that sort of fight as well. And then like Maverick from Top Gun just like airstrikes to shit out of all four of them.
That's how it ends, yeah.
Yeah, I think we're universal. Yeah, fucking probably. Who gives a shit?
Universal owns the monsters, I'm pretty sure.
The Monsterverse.
The Monsterverse. Yeah, if they were smart, that's what I'd do. But it also would like cheapen all the franchises. But like, do people care? Like, do people really care about like Mission Impossible being cheapened? Because like, they know it.
Well, I did Top Gun instead. I don't think Mission Impossible needs to be in there. Because what's Mission Impossible? The Mission Impossible crew would just be like heisting something on the other side of town. Like,
yeah, they'd be heisting like the battery of Godzilla.
I think Top Gun would be better, because that could be like the next Top Gun. So that's their final mission. You know, when they had to like bomb that site.
Yeah.
They got to kill a kaiju.
You have a Jason Bourne movie to build up to it. You have a John Wick movie to build up for it. You have a Top Gun movie to build up for it. And then the fourth movie, and this is just the fight. It's a 2-hour fight.
That'd be genuinely the best fucking movie. Do you know what it would be? It'd be the best bad movie.
It would be the best bad movie. That's what we're talking about, the best bad movies. The ones that are pretty shit. I mean, this would be a fantastic bad movie. Mm-hmm. We should be paid lots of money to make shit movies. But this is, we're talking about best bad movies. The movies that are so terrible, they're enjoyable, they're funny to watch. There's a lot of candidates for this. So I've enjoyed many, many bad movies.
There are a lot of candidates for this, and so we're only going to narrow it down to a few. So if your best bad movie doesn't make it into the podcast, firstly, apologies. Secondly, make your own podcast, like, if you really want to talk about it. Chances are we've not seen that obscure Chinese anime movie that you want nominated. But there we are. So, Ben, do you want to kick us off? What's your best bad? Make a case. I think we need to caveat this because we need to both agree that it is a bad movie. One of us can't sit here and go, it got nominated for a fucking Oscar, Ben. Probably what's going to happen for a couple of years.
I mean, nominated for an Oscar doesn't mean it's a good movie. But, all my movies are pretty shit. Not going to stop. There's one you might be like, oh, hold on. But yeah, I think we have to talk about The Granddaddy. The one, I think right now it's the king. And there's a chance it might get taken off its crown. But there's a chance it doesn't. You know what I'm talking about. The Room. Yeah,
you were talking about Room.
It's the funniest thing I've ever seen. It's such a good film to like, move in, like beers, like smoke a bit of weed. And watch like with a bunch of mates. It's such, I've had that experience so many times with The Room. And it's so good. It never disappoints. So many scenes that are memorable. Like I've quoted this movie 7 million times. Like, I didn't hit her. Oh, hi, Mark. I have breast cancer. Oh, how's your sex life? You know? There are so many scenes in this movie that are just like so memorable, ingrained in my brain, and in the best ways. They're the fucking scene in the movie where he plays American, the group, someone like dies, and then it goes on to someone else. And they play American football in suits for about 5 minutes. It's never really to anything. Like 7 minutes, 6 scenes, 3 times for no reason. It's not like porn. It's close to it, but it's just like it's really cheesy fucking music, and it's really badly acted sex, and it's such a treat. Like not the sex scenes. I mean, the whole movie is just so like, how did this come about? If you haven't seen The Room, just please watch it with friends. Watch it like a little bit drunk. You'll have such a good time.
Yeah. Make sure it's a Tommy Wiseau Room. I don't want you sat there watching Room, the one with Jason Tremblay, and then just be like complaining to me because it's actually a really depressing Predator story.
Yeah.
The Room is garbage. Like, as a film, when you actually watch the way it's made, the way it's acted, the way it's written, it is hot garbage. But for, like, some reason, it's really easy to watch. I say that. There are a couple of times where you're there, like, I am just watching some school play.
Like a bad school play.
It is really bad. The story makes no sense. The sex scene.
Yeah, there's been a book and a movie done about the production of The Room, and they're both pretty good. It's just a story because it's the Tommy Wiseau, the guy who plays the main character. He like financed it, and he's such a mysterious guy, and he's such a weird, odd guy that he comes. He's just like an enigma, the dude, and it adds. The Room. Sure.
I think that's a strong opener. I'm going to start off with some spooky times because it's October, so it's Spooktober. A movie that's really easy to watch. One of the probably OG mashup movies before they got a bit kind of hot garbage. And probably also the best mashup movie, Freddy vs. Jason.
Oh, I've never seen that.
Freddy vs. Jason is good. It is not a very well-made film. The story makes no sense because I think they thought it was a good idea and then had to work around the fact that Freddy and Jason actually cannot interact because Jason is not a preteen.
Yeah.
And he's dead, so he can't dream. But they brilliantly wrote around that by just having Freddy randomly appear in the real world.
All right.
They did not really think about the lore at all in any way. It's your typical teen slasher, though. But the action is fun. It's fun to see the two bad guys interact. They set themselves up for a sequel right at the end, which is hilarious.
Oh, yeah? Kelly Rowland's in this.
Yeah. And it's just really easy to watch. It's not a very long movie. There's a couple of, like, genuinely scares in it. It's got all the things that a teen slasher should have. It's got 28-year-old blonde women playing 17-year-olds. It's got a big monster with a giant knife. It's got a nightmare dream monster. It's nice. Got people making just dumb decisions continuously. It's got a couple of moments where you're like, the bad guy's dead, and then turn the corner, bad guy's not.
Oh my
dead.
God, he's come back.
Yeah. And it's just got a load of boobs.
Nice.
And
nice.
There you go. Freddy versus Jason. And they wanted to do more, but they did not make a sequel.
Never did it. It's got 5 out of 10. But I mean, it's bad, but it's not terrible. It does seem like just by the name Freddy versus Jason, you know what you're going to get. And if that's what you want, which is kind of what I want sometimes, you're getting that.
This is exactly what the mistake Godzilla versus Kong made is that they decided that they quickly realized that this fight is going to be really expensive to VFX. So what they did instead was they threw in a load of human interest stories, which were boring as shit. Freddy vs. Jason doesn't do that. It's like, here's your 17-year-old played by 30-year-olds. Here's your hot dude who's going to have his shirt off the entire time. Here's your black dude who's probably going to die. Here's some random side pieces. There's Jason. There's Freddy. Fucking, let's get out of here in 90 minutes.
That's what Godzilla vs. King Kong should have done.
Yep.
Don't get to Godzilla vs. King Kong. He's not on this in the film. I don't want to know on this list because that movie is just bad.
It's pretty
Freddy
bad.
Versus Jason, Freddy vs. It's a very strong contender. It is. I do actually want to watch it. Not gonna lie. And I've seen like, what's the franchise that Jason Voorhees is in?
Friday 13th.
I don't think I've ever seen a Friday 13th movie. I've seen two Nightmare on Elm Street movies, and I kind of like them. I might actually watch this just for the fuck. Yeah,
it's pretty fun.
Right, my next. I've got three more editions. Actually, right. I reckon I can do. I've got one which I'm quite excited about because it's a new. I haven't seen the film. We'll get to it. Morbius is my next edition. Because it's just like it's a new addition to the whole this whole mythos. It was a fun time watching it with my flatmates, talking shit about this movie, pointing out the mistakes it has. It has a lot of dumb shit in it, which is like, you know, you're making kind of a shit film, right? It has like dancing vampire villains. Like really convenient writing that just like takes so many leaps in logic, and dumb shit. The villain is called Dimitri or something, and one of the scenes, like right at the beginning of the movie, and the audience is like, "Your name is Milo because my friend who died is called Milo," and it like jumps to the future, and the villain is like, I can't remember, he's played by Matt Smith. Sorry for spoilers, but well. It's like, what are you doing, man?
It's very funny.
Morbius is bullying you, and it's just like there's a lot of that sort of stuff. Like Morbius gets arrested because suddenly the police officers, for like no reason at all, were like, "Here's a vampire." They just suddenly believe like vampires are real because like a nurse died or something, and he's just like. It must be him. Why? He was researching bats. There's a bunch of that stuff in it. Made good memes, though.
Oh, pretty much. I think the one disadvantage for this list that Morbius gets is it makes some dumb decisions, but it is kind of like, again, just an utterly fine film that everyone decided was the worst film ever made.
Yeah.
The memes are worse than the film.
You know the memes they made the movie come out again because the movie didn't make that much. It didn't completely bomb, but it made 80 million or some shit. And then because it was there were so many memes, they released it again for like a weekend and it literally made like $2,000 or something. It made like a fantastic amount of money. It's a fun, dumb movie. I don't think it's like the worst of all time. I think you're all right. It's kind of like fine. What Craven the Hunter is going to be, it's going to be like, oh, that was something.
You know? That was definitely a film.
Yeah.
Craven the Hunter is never coming out. I genuinely believe it. they've filmed this entire movie, and I'm starting to think it's just gonna get Batgirled. And we're just never ever gonna see it.
Yeah.
But there we are. I don't think Morbius is a bad film, like objectively. Mm. But I don't think it's got as much charm as The Room or Freddy versus Jason, because I don't think
you're probably right.
I'm ever gonna watch Morbius again unless like someone wants to for some reason.
Yeah, you're right. I was trying to think of contenders.
I've got the best contender. You want a vampire movie? I got you a goddamn fucking vampire movie. I'm gonna throw out the ultimate bad, good vampire movie, Blade Trinity.
It is quite fun. They do a lot of bad stuff in it, and I think people hate on Blade Trinity because the first two are good. The first two are really good action movies, and the third one just like just took loads of leaps in quality for some random reason, right? Like, I can't really remember what happened. I remember the dude from Prison Break is like the villain, right? That's kind of the only thing I can really remember.
Blade kind of had like a bat family for some reason. So he had young Ryan Reynolds. One of the bad guys was also the wrestler Triple H.
Cool.
He had like a woman for some reason. He had like a new cool outfit. And then they just kind of did loads of like weird action set pieces with CGI that wasn't quite ready yet. So somehow the movie looks worse than Blade 2.
Yeah.
I don't know what the budget was, but it's got some fun story. It's got all the Blade stuff that you enjoy about it. It's got a load of fun lore because apparently Wesley Snipes was just an asshole the entire filming of the film.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And again, you got Triple H as a vampire, the dude from Prison Break. And you just got Blade blading around. And to be honest, it's nowhere near as bad as everyone makes out. It's just not as dark as a normal Blade film. So everything is silver. Is like the shiny chrome silver the entire film. And I almost feel like they were trying to dumb Blade down in the ratings a little bit, because they were like, if we want to make more money, let's make this a 12A instead of a hard 18. Stop covering everyone in blood the entire time. Use that weird ash effect to make vampires disappear and do that. And it's a good movie. It's absolutely fine. And
it's absolutely fine. Is it the best? Is it like really fun to watch that? Because I've watched Blade Trinity.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Once, and literally anything I remembered was like, is the guy from Prison Blake playing like Dracula?
Something like that. It's something weird like that, isn't it? So
yeah.
So yeah, I think it's fun. Like, you just get to watch Wesley Snipes beat the crap out of people. Ryan Reynolds is throwing out one-liners. Triple H is hissing.
And
people are getting stabbed. But it's definitely a step down from the first two.
Yeah. Do you think it's the best bad movie?
No, I don't think it's the best bad movie, but I think it's an interesting... I think it's better to watch than Morbius, easily.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that, for sure.
Because it's got that 90s charm to a movie that came out in 2006.
And it's got Wesley Snipes.
Triple
H. Do you know what Blade Trinity doesn't have?
What?
Sam Neill.
Oh, good.
Sam Jones. Who is the main star.
Oh, I wish it was Sam Neill.
Oh, fuck you. It's like as stupid and cheesy as you want it, but it is like quite fun to watch. Like, it's really awesome soundtrack, by the way, made by Queen in the fucking prime. Like, what movie can claim that? None other. Queen didn't really do the soundtrack for any other movie. Kind of a badass villain played by Max von Sydow, who's like very, you know, prolific nowadays. Very, very weird. He's like, it's semi, like, it's almost racist, to be honest. Like, it is almost racist because they're like, I think they're trying to make the is the play by a white guy. It sort of looks like they're made, trying to make them look like some Asian or something. There it is. It's very odd, and he's it like. By the way, the costumes are phenomenal. There are someone had like a fucking field day. Someone cooked with this shit. It's really stupid and really well. Like, there's really class quality of actors. Like Brian Blessed is like a wing, like a angel bird man in this film, and Brian Blessed is fucking awesome. And but Max von Sydow, it's like they tried to make Star Wars like 3 years after Star Wars, and they're like, what can we do? It's just semi Star Wars, but making like super American. And the scene it's so cheesy in every scene. There's like a scene where like six soldiers are attacking Flash Gordon, and he defeats him with an American football. It's like that is a film, this is. And it's so fun and dumb in the best way. Like, I've seen it quite a few times, not gonna lie. Like, and it's just like, it also always put a smile to my face. Like, it's very, it might not be the best bad movie, but it's the most charming.
It is pretty bad, but it is really fun. I've seen it quite a few times. So, yeah that is a good, that's a really good entry.
And like, and it is iconic, because like, Flash, like, no, everyone knows that. Everyone, like, maybe like 20-year-olds who, like, who fucking cares what they think? 20-year-olds right now. But, like, everyone in our generation, or like 20 years old, knows what that is. No people care about.
Even people that haven't seen the movie, and that makes it timeless. I think more people know that than they know The Room. Interesting. I've got one more, but I don't think it. I think Flash Gordon blows out of the water. I was going to nominate The Core. The Core is quite a bad movie, but it's pretty funny. So The Core is Aaron Eckhart and Hilary Swank. They have to drill to the center of the Earth because the world's core has stopped spinning, which means that the gravity is sort of stopping working. Anyone that's got a pacemaker just drops dead. Like, that's like the start.
Is that how pacemakers work?
Don't know. It does in The Core. So, yeah.
I guess so.
Yeah, you got like Stanley Tucci is there.
Oh, Stanley Tucci makes everything better.
Yeah, you got the Tucci, but they're literally drilling to the center of the Earth to nuke the Earth's core so that it starts spinning again.
Why not? You know, that's fun.
Yeah, the film starts with Hilary Swank landing a space shuttle in the LA River using a paper map because the Earth core stopping spinning means their sat nav doesn't work anymore, so they don't know where to land. There's a scene where all these pigeons are just in the middle of London and just start like attacking people because their minds are gravity. Broken.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I mean, it would be interesting to find out if so. The Earth isn't spinning, right?
No, the Earth carries on spinning, but the Earth's core stops spinning.
Okay. Sure. It would be interesting. I mean, really, what would happen is probably like mass earthquakes at all times. But I do like they take like a fun license on it and just make birds like homicidal.
Yeah. Pretty much. And so there's a scene where the army have known about this for a while. So they've had someone making like a drill truck. And they just walk up to this dude and they're like, we'll give you an unlimited budget. Like, and he's like, oh, okay, I can have this done like soon or whatever. We're on track. And the dude's literally like, you got 2 days. And then he just does it. And then they've got a drill truck. They get saved by whales, as in like the creatures, whales, using their sonar.
As they're in the tour.
Yeah. No, this is after they're at back from the core, but no one can find them. They're at the bottom of the ocean. But then some whales start doing sonar stuff, and DJ Qualls is in the movie, and he's like the smart. He's like this punk hacker, who just somehow ends up working for like the FBI, to because they need his. He's the only one with the skills to drill truck.
Of course.
And all of this is to stop because the alternative plan is that the army are just going to let off a load of like earthquake weapon. They've got some weapon that can make earthquakes, which would like devastate everything. But that's the backup plan because they're like, it might kickstart the Earth's core. And it's like, you're just going to
trying to destroy shit. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, the protagonist plan doesn't sound that much better, but you know, they have to have a plot. It's a fun, weird plot that, you know, I bet it makes zero scientific sense. I bet physicists fucking hate this movie. But you know, I do like this kind of genre of movies, like science-y, and it's like your science doesn't make any sense at all in any way. Like a scientist was not consulted on this movie at all.
Nope.
I like that sort of thing because it's dumb. So I think I reckon it is a really fun watch, and I have added it to my list.
Do you know why Aaron Eckhart makes it into the drill truck and he's the main character? Literally because he's just a geologist.
Sure.
And he ends up in front of like the entire army, just like saying, talking about how the Earth's core works, and they're like, this is the guy. He's just like a college professor. So he's the only one with the answers. And Hilary Swank is just an astronaut that crashed a space shuttle, and they're like, she's in the truck. And I don't even remember why Stanley Tucci makes it into the truck. But it's all like really, it's like a proper Suicide Squad of just like bodies. It's like, who's dumb enough to drill to the Earth's core?
In Armageddon, isn't it? Bruce Willis is the leader of the crew, right? And Ben Affleck gets in the crew because like he's dating his daughter or some shit, right? You're dating my daughter. You can come along and like save humanity.
Bruce Willis, yeah, he wanted to keep Shia LaBeouf away from his daughter. No, not Shia LaBeouf. Ben Affleck, wasn't it?
Yeah. She like kidnaps him for a fucking suicide mission. I think that is a fun movie, for sure. I have one more shout out.
All right. Let's quickly run through this last one.
Yeah. It's a recent edition. It's the film I haven't actually seen. I've seen all these other films, but before we start recording, last 20 minutes I've been watching a funny scenes for a movie called Troll 2 and it just it seems like a fucking drama, and I feel like I've seen really important bits to this because there's a scene where it's like, all right, so there's a scene that plays out of this, it's like a weird horror film about trolls, but they never said in the movie the word trolls. It's like they're contractually obliged to call them goblins. But for some reason, the movie is called Trolls 2. For the scene, and apparently it was made, the script was written by Italian people who didn't know English very well. And the scene where he's like, there's like boyfriend of like a 17-year-old girl is like, oh no, you're going to turn me into a homo. And this girl says, would it be too hard? My father will rip off your nuts and eat them. And then they like laugh. They're like, ah. That's more like, what's it? And there's also a scene where the granddad's like the person who knows all about the goblins, and like, don't believe the goblins, they're going to do bad shit. Granddad's always coming around being creepy, telling this little boy what to do. And there's a scene where he's like, you can't let them eat because a lot of their food has like this weird green goo on it, and the granddad just stops time. But pulls it out of his ass, stops that. And the boy just pisses on all of the food. There's like a big family scene where they're about to eat this food. And you see this boy going, I guess I got that. You see him zip away his pants. And next scene, they were just throwing away and the boy being like grounded. And there's so many like charmers in this. It is The Room, but with like in like a horror film about goblins. And like there is like a really famous bit where this like the worst acting I've ever seen, maybe the worst acting that's ever been put to film. This guy is seeing, there's like a really weirdly sexual scene, about this girl who's like, you know, like an 18-year-old, you know, blonde girl, and she's getting like all this green goo like spread over her in like a very suggesting way. And then they eat her, right? And then like the green goo is like their ketchup or something. And the guy's like, oh no, they're eating her. Oh my god. it's played out exactly like that. And it's like, oh my god. Oh. I had such a fun time watching like the 20 minutes before we did the podcast. And I kind of want to watch the whole thing, but I've probably seen the best scenes. It's like if like aliens were told to make like a really American horror film, and this is what they would come up with. It's great. Like it put such a smile on my face.
That does sound good. I don't think it can win the best because neither of us have seen it.
Yeah,
but it's okay. A worthy entry. Certainly, it's worth talking about. You know what? We will both watch it for next week. And if it wins, then it will be in the final, because this is the seventh week of the best. It's taken us about 10 weeks, but we are at week seven. We've only got one more week to go. So we need to line up. I will make sure I find out by next week who won the other six, because I don't really remember. But I will make a point of finding out. But who's... We need to narrow this down. We're in the bottom of the fourth quarter. I don't know, American sports. Bottom of the ninth. Who is the best worst movie?
I think it's The Room, to be honest. I mean, we had like good suggestions for sure, but I don't think anything beats The Room.
The Room is the granddaddy. I don't think anything. Flash Gordon is right there, but then also the trouble with Flash Gordon is that there is no one that genuinely thinks The Room is a good film. There is only people that love it because it's so bad, whereas there are people that fucking love Flash Gordon.
Yeah, people think convinced it's actually like a really great film, which, you know, or more power to you, but like everyone knows with The Room, like it's actually been a really, really successful film, because it's like a room festival every year, which like money goes to like Tommy Wiseau and other people. And like,
how does Tommy Wiseau need the money for?
He's a weird guy. Like no one knows where he got his money from. Probably like Epstein Island or some shit.
There are rumors on the internet that he's an absolute piece of shit. But we'll just keep, there are about everyone that we love. So. There's probably like a whole Reddit page about how we're the worst people in the world.
Oh yeah, I kind of hope so. You know, at least that's kind of success right there.
Yeah, that's what you need these days. All right, then The Room. The Room is the best, worst movie, and moves on to the final of the best, where it will compete against the other six things that won.
And we will know all those things next week.
Yeah, I keep thinking the Hershey Gang won Best Gang, but I also really don't think they did.
They didn't. They came close. They probably came like second, but it was something I suggested, I feel like. It was the what we do in the house in the shadows crew.
They're not a gang, they're a family. And that was proven in the poll that we ran for that episode. So the listeners voted with their hearts, and they were not dubbed one. There was also a poll last episode, but I don't remember what it was for, so I'll also find that out.
Lots of polls.
Yeah, I'm just throwing polls everywhere. I'm just like, hey, let me know what you think. And because that's how inclusive we are on the Naked Men podcast. And thank you very much for listening.
Everyone's opinions.
Next episode, I'm not going to say next week, because I know that we are quite sporadic in our uploading, will be the final best before the grand finale. And it will be best villain. So if you want your villain to be thrown into the fight, you need to let us know at @Rogue_opinion. Any entries that we don't agree with just won't get spoken about. So there we go. And these are fictional villains, so don't go like nominating Elon Musk or whoever else. Although he could
if be. If you want to, maybe we can make him fictional.
You can nominate him, but your ex account will probably get like suspended for 24 hours.
That's true.
Although that would be pretty cool if one of our listeners tried to nominate Elon Musk and Elon Musk deleted their Twitter account. That would actually be very funny. We would know that Elon's listening.
Yes.
Yeah, you can find Rogue Opinions at Rogue_Opinion. You can find me at Nathan Adler 92. Ben, you got any interesting facts you want to throw at us?
Dell computers are made by mice.
Yeah, that's pretty nice. That's pretty nice. Very nice. Anything you want to plug?
Follow my writing Instagram. I've been working tirelessly on new things. I will have a website in the next couple of weeks as well. It's BT Ebert Writes. It's got some weird short stories.
Ooh. Well, there you go. Everyone go and jump over there, nuke his website with like reviews of your favorite deodorant just to annoy him. We'll be back next week with the final of the best. Bye now.